so grateful just to have the opportunity to just be able to give some words of inspiration during the week to my coaches, to my mentors, to my fellow pastor friends and director friends in the area. Just really wanted to kind of land the plane, in a sense, on just a portion of a story with Elijah I had talked to you guys about before, and really just has still been encouraging me in my own walk this week when it comes to thinking about, hey, what is a faith-filled leader's response when we're having a rough day, when we're our backs against the wall, when we're feeling like we're running on fumes, running from an empty tank? And one of the ideas that out of reading out of Elijah in chapter, I mean not Elijah, in reading 1 Kings, sorry about that, and reading chapter 17 of Elijah's story with this widow that I had spoken about a little bit before, man, understanding things in life don't go according to plan, right? We live in a sinful world that's filled with things that distract us from the pursuit of God. And so in our coaching, in our culture, and just our daily lives, there's this temptation to just assume that things will always go well. But when you're coaching, when you're mentoring, especially when you're pastoring, like, there's this ordeal of how do I respond when things don't, right? Do I get to have a bad day in which I just give that one kid in my youth group, on my sports team, in my school, when I just give him really what I'm feeling in my heart, right? Or is there a time frame in which, hey, even in my lowest moments, I know how to lean to the Lord? And so Elijah does something like this, where his response to a certain point with the widow, it doesn't get out of hand, but his talking slows down, right? And so the main idea that it kind of struck in my idea is, hey, faith-filled leaders can only maintain when they pursue Christ and believe in his will, even when things don't go according to plan, right? And so in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17, this widow now has made it through the drought, and now she's at a point where she is, she's become ill, and her son actually dies. And then he gets to verse 17, and it says, after this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill, and his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him, meaning he died. And she said to Elijah, what have you against me? She's saying this to Elijah, but she really means this for God, because she says, O man of God, you have come to bring me, to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son. And he said to her, give me your son. So he takes the son in his arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. Elijah is a sojourner with them. He's been staying with them. The Lord's provided for them after the drought. And now the son dies. And the woman goes to where she believes, even if she doesn't fully understand that's what she's doing, she goes to the person who had provided for them in the past, where she believes she may be able to find hope, because at this point, she's pretty hopeless. And Elijah, in his own leadership style, has to get to the point within his own mind that he doesn't even have the time to respond to the accusation. His response is literally, hey, give me your son. Give me the thing that is causing you to lose hope, right? And he takes the son to his very own inner chamber, where I'm sure Elijah had talked to God one-on-one many times, in his prayer closet, as we used to call it, right? And he takes his son there. And then the story goes on to say that he laid across the son and prayed to God three times that God would intervene on this widow's behalf. This widow had both provided for him a place to live. They had been in relationship with one another. They had been in community with one another. And he realizes, man, I have to go to this point at which she lost hope, go to the thing that caused her to lose hope, and pray, not in his own power, but in God's power, that he would change and intervene in the place where she lost hope. And so this story really makes me think of, man, I can only imagine as a parent how I would respond, but I know for a fact, and y'all don't tell my wife I said this, I know how my wife would respond to something like this, right? If Eris or Uriah even had a scratch on their leg that was unaccounted for, she would go directly to the point at which caused the issue in our child's life. In that widow's view, she went to Elijah because at that time she believed that maybe he had something to do with it. It just didn't make sense. But she also remembered the last time that they were in a life or death situation. It was God who intervened, right? And so as I look at this a little bit more, it makes me think, hey, what does it look like in my own leadership style? How do I respond when things aren't going according to plan? Is it filled with faith or is it filled with doubt? Do I give folks the same hope that Elijah gives this widow through God, right? Of course. And the question is, or the answer really is, a lot of times I don't, if I'm honest. I'm sure you, my coaches, my friends, my pastors, my mentors, I'm sure y'all have felt that way as well. But the thing is even if Elijah might have felt that way, what made it impactful is he went to the person he knew could do something about the situation they were in. And this story also tells us, hey, every story doesn't go according to plan. In some biblical narratives, you'll see where God intervenes one time and you don't hear about this character anymore. But this widow comes right back up. And where she thought she was out of one trial, she finds herself in another one. For any of us that have coached, mentored, or pastored, you'll know, hey, you're either in a storm, as my lead pastor says, you're coming out of a storm, or a storm is on its way, right? And so as we look at life and leadership, the question is, are we constantly leaning into the Lord and into His Spirit so that when the storm comes to us, whether it be a student not wanting to take direction, whether it be a member that's having some issues within their household, whether it be us and what we bring to the table from our own households, when we're in the storm, do we reflect the love of Christ? And do we do it consistently enough to multiply that in those we lead? And so the takeaway is really simple. Hey, what are the things in our life that we can do to feed ourselves so that when the storm comes, we can respond in a way that points folks back to the source, which is Christ? This is okay. I'd love to pray with you guys, and I hope this is helpful to you this week. Lord, I'm just grateful that we serve a God named Emmanuel that constantly allows trials in our lives to mature and to grow our faith. If everything went well, we wouldn't need a Savior. But in those lowest times, we know we serve a God that promises that He will be with us in the storm. I remember in Isaiah when it says, when you walk through the waters, I will be with you. In this moment, I just pray and encourage all of my coaches, my fellow pastor friends, and mentors to be encouraged in the middle of the storm because we serve a God who is sovereign over the storm. For my fellow students and my little brothers and sisters, I pray that you encourage them to take the guidance of what is around them so that they can also walk through the storms and bring someone else with them. But in all these things, Lord, I pray that we can be faith-filled leaders responding in a way that points to you because we are in constant connection to you and constantly flowing out of an overflow. Pray all these things, Lord, and pray for my brothers and sisters. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a good one. Love it. Can't wait to jump back into it next week.